The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, Baton Rouge. Didn't forget about you. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Still to come this hour, Pete Futako, college football, Andy McNeil, Eastern Conference of the NHL, Mark Borchardt standing by on baseball. Oh, the pro tip of the hour, though, the first hour, the pro tip besides don't play poker with O's the medalist, besides that one, is it has to do with the Atlanta Braves, both moving forward and also talking in retrospect. Moving forward, the tip is the Braves might be better than they were last season. I would not say might be. They are better than they were last season. And I would argue there's still value on them in particularly the World Series market. But in retrospect, again, I just want to make this point for all the great sort of bets that we've made over time here on a numbers game, whether that's Iga Świątek, whether it's any number of tennis futures, whether it's Paolo Banchero, whether it's the Warriors, whether it's Ole Miss in College World Series. It goes on and on and on through the history of this show. And the Atlanta Braves is one of these that sort of falls in line. If they get there, they have to win one more game or the Mets have to lose. It's not there yet. But the point is, the pro tip is, if you believe that a number is bad, you have to really be, especially in baseball where it's a day-by-day thing, you have to be really obstinate about blocking out noise. And people are going to talk Mets, Mets, Mets. They're a New York team. They're going to talk about how it sets up poorly for the team based on the number that I had with the Braves day in and day out. Oh, it's going to set up so poorly for the Braves. The Mets have the tiebreaker, on and on and on. We talked about it earlier with Paul Spohr. But then all these bits of data come in day after day. Oh, well, DeGrom is still not pitching well. The Braves still match up well with Scherzer. Hey, look, the Braves could still get the tiebreaker, right, if they sweep. It's never off their racket. And again, Alcantara won't pitch for the Marlins if it gets that far. All these little things, you have to remain steadfast in any bet you made. This just happens to be the Braves. But in any bet you make, if your conviction is what your conviction, don't let noise talk you off that conviction. That is your pro tip, in addition to the Braves, of course, being value here towards the future. Pro tip of the hour, available at VSiN.com. We do 20 a day, sorted by sport and by show, VSiN.com for all your pro tips a day. We get tweets. Yes, we do, at Beating the Book, Kelly. I always appreciate the feedback. Perhaps today I appreciate it more than ever before. This is from, first of all, this is about the my question that I asked about, are football players allowed, like Bobby Wagner did last night, to just destroy, clothesline, a fan for running on the field? And I asked for lawyers to, we have a couple, Vegas Vice, a player who stops a fan on the field can get sued. It is not a smart idea to do it. When someone gets really hurt, a lawyer will take the case. And if it's just an idiot who doesn't get hurt, a jury will never give him an award of substantial money. So they can take the case, but unless the guy's hurt, they're never going to win anything.
Yeah.
One more, Mark Geiger, who's been so good about law matters on this show in the past. He says, the quote-unquote fan is a trespasser, but his attorney's going to argue that the force used by a player was excessive to repel the threat posed. This theory might actually fly in the Bay Area. Would have been better had they just let security do the job. So there you go. And then, as you might imagine, the onslaught of tweets from our segment with O's the Mentalist. Power play picks. What sorcery did I just witness? Oh my God, speechless right now. Russell Ambrose. LOL, I was even thinking eight of clubs while listening on iHeart was like, no way he's going to pick even what I'm thinking. Am I that transparent?
Mark. So the other thing I think that needs to be cleared up real quick, Gil, this was not a fresh pack of cards where it's all in order, right? They were mixed already because they were a used deck.
No, I think they were in order and then I shuffled them.
And then you shuffled them. Okay,
yeah.
Never mind.
Mac, I mean, either way.
Whatever, yeah.
Either way, Mac at Machiavelli. That was crazy. Makes no sense how he would know that. Not that's Anjay. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Warn me the next time this guy's on with you. I just drove off the road. Eight of clubs, Dan Marley, WTF. Drew Tyndall, Gil, that was riveting. What the heck just happened? Walked away from my desk to gather myself. Web12-66, I had the seven of clubs, well, it was the eight of clubs, but the Dan Marley thing is just incredible. James, at the James Lloyd, holy shnikes, mind officially blown. Scott, New York, Mets 16, listening in my car on the radio, but I cannot wait to get home and watch that clip. I am big on reading people's mannerisms, but this is insane. Mark Geiger again. The dude is right out of the Twilight Zone. I mean, these goes on and on. RB at the Real Mad Indy. Holy hell, Gil. Quit creeping me out. This is incredible. Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark. LOL. Gil tried to go with Thunder Dan, and this guy got it. Ed2112. Wow, that was cool and creepy all in one segment. Thankfully, Kelly saved the day. Oh, by him not being able to read your mind, I guess.
Steel trap, baby.
RB getting his, get this guy on to do guessing lines with Chris. He'll hit everyone dead on. Will at the Pepsi guy is a skeptic. He said the seeds were planted. He mentioned that it was raining when he was in New York, then mentioned how great it would be in Las Vegas. He got Dan Marley out of that.
But like, isn't that the magician magician wordplay of how you connect what you figured out to your, you know, guess or whatever it is?
Angriest guy in New Jersey. Exactly what I thought first. If I ever see this guy at a poker table, I'm not sitting down.
Not sitting down.
I don't care what he says about not being able to know exactly what I have in the hole.
Because he could just talk to you and get into your head the entire time. He could say one. If he said that Dan Marley thing to me at a poker table, I'd be like, well, it was fun playing with you all. I'm getting up now.
He also says, get ready for the college football lines to jump all over the place right before your guessing line segment. Tired guy, right now, he says, hey, oh, he put up an image. He goes, I don't want to be around anymore. He's like, I don't want to be here. Jason H11, who would have thought that Kelly had the steel trap brain and Gil's the gullible one that gets picked out of the crowd to hypnotize?
That's right. Couldn't get Buster Posey. That was the guy I wrote down.
I don't know if I was gullible, but man, what just happened? Maybe he did hypnotize me.
Yeah.
Am I hypnotized right now? Jonathan Silvera, I just saw the segment with a mentalist, and wow, my advice to you, Gil, would be never to sit at a poker table. Bill Hooker, cheating in poker, cheating in fishing, now unexplainable card tricks on a numbers game. What's next? A. Brown, the mentalist has to be a cheating scandal on the level of Neiman's cheese beads.
Chess beads.
Chess beads, I'm sorry. Chess beads. Can you check for the cameras showing that 8 of clubs? Unless the camera is up my butt.
Oh, it was 8 of clubs. You pulled it out.
Anyway, these go on and on and on. What's this one? Jesse Welsh, this is the last one. I think Gil might have just attempted to sabotage the greatest segment in radio history out of jealousy. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what that means. I tried to sabotage that? I don't know.
Anyway. It got clunky at the end. We tried to jam a lot in. Sorry, yeah. We're getting to a lot. And now we've had poor Mark Borchardt on hold for a while.
Yeah, by the way, your UTEP guess, -3. It was Louisiana Tech, -3.
Ah, sure, whatever. You know, just... Okay. Jump the feds.
Mark Borchardt is with us. Mark, we'll keep you over the line if you don't mind for a few minutes if you're able to do that. How you doing, man? We just we just had our minds blown. Sorry.
That's cool. You know, I have to check that segment out. I wasn't listening. I was working on some numbers for the show, but it sounds like it was exciting, Gil.
What numbers were you working on? I'm curious.
Well, I was working on the probability of the wild card rounds, and I think that, you know, maybe we can get into this at the back end of the next segment, but I think Philadelphia and San Diego need to lose these games. I mean, Philadelphia is so much better off if they play the Cardinals as a 6 seed as opposed to playing the Mets as a 5 seed rather. I mean, it's insane, Gil. If you look at the probabilities of, and I'm not really high on St. Louis's pitching. Wainwright's been a mess. He's got an 8% strikeout rate his last 150 plate appearances, which is worse than baseball. So they're going to have to start him. That's dangerous for St. Louis. But anyway, Philadelphia has a 62% chance to win that series versus St. Louis, and they only got a 31% chance to win against the Mets. So how are they going to be I mean, somebody's got to be looking at these numbers in the front office and just saying, hey, you know, don't win tonight. Let's be the 6th seed. It gives us a better probability to win rather than playing the Mets as a 5 seed. So I think that gives you value on tonight's game. You know, Verlander to me is kind of in the – I think that Cy Young Award's tighter than the market is, Gil. If you look at Ohtani's numbers, he's only a couple games back on the win losses. So I think this is an important game for Verlander to kind of solidify that Cy Young, even though, like, you would think, well, it's a, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But I do. I think that
so that you think if not Verlander, Ohtani might sneak in there? Is that what you're saying?
I do. Yeah, I do, because I don't think that they're that far apart from a numbers standpoint. I just want to look at the wins real fast. So like Ohtani's got 15 wins versus Verlander 17 wins. That's kind of the driver in the Cy Young battle. And if you look at Ohtani's K-9, he's number one in the American League. I think that he could get it, actually. I don't think that, wow. For me, So that
would be monster.
So you got this confluence of things where, to me, Philly has to lose to improve their chances of advancing in the playoffs. And then Verlander's trying to, I think this is an important game in the Cy Young race in my mind.
So you like the Astros tonight?
Yeah, I'd play the Astros. Okay. I mean, Philadelphia, if they win the next two and San Diego loses the next two and they come in as a fifth seed, that's a disservice to the organization. They've got to be looking at that stuff.
Gil, I always, like on this show over the years, we have always talked about jockeying for seeding position, not just in baseball, but in other sports as well. And what we find more often than not, I will sort of say this anecdotally, is that teams are not thinking the way we do often, right? So I'm totally on your page, right? So right now, the difference between, again, the Padres and the Phillies, Padres are 88 and 72, Phillies are 87 and 73, the Phillies win tiebreakers. So what you're saying is the Phillies ought not to get into a tie. They should just remain behind. Do they play it that way? Yeah. No, I get
mean,
it.
What, I mean, think about it. You want to play? You want
I'm
to face
with you. I'm not arguing with
Rob
you.
I'm sure it's crazy.
I'm totally,
so these guys.
Mark,
so the
I'm
organization
on your page.
Needs to look at this and say, I don't care if we got to put a position player out there. We do not need to win. We need to lose these next two games.
I agree with you 1,000%. We'll talk about if there's an implication in the American League after the break with Mark Borchard and get his thoughts on other randoms. Like, again, we'll reiterate the question, what's the team? Again, long shot. He's answered this before on the show. Let's see if that answer is the same. Baseball with Mark Borchard on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Don't forget about VSiN Pro, by the way. We don't let that slip by. Football season in full swing. Everything you need to know before betting this week. Subscribe to VSiN Pro. You get full access to everything we do if you subscribe to VSiN Pro. That includes our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guest, 24/7 video, season prep, including our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here. We'll read some more tweets later. Andy McNeil on hockey. Pete Futak of college football. Got our NFL rankings coming up as well. Mark Borchard, kind enough to stay with us here this morning at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. I think making a great point before the commercial about how, hey, look, the Phillies, they shouldn't be incentivized because, remember, they have all the tiebreakers. So they would have a tiebreaker. I think it was 4-3 against the Padres this year. So they don't want to get into a tie with the Padres because that would mean that the Phillies would end up as the 5 seed. They would play perhaps the New York Mets if the Braves can get it done today or if the Mets lose one more. And that would put the Padres, into the more favorable position of having to play the Cardinals. So the object for the Phillies would be to get the 6th seed and to play the Cardinals and avoid the Mets and or the Braves. How about in the American? By the way, one more thing about that. There is rain again today in New York, and we're trying to effort what happens here. So there's a couple things, right? If the Braves lose tonight, the Mets still have to play these baseball games. And there's only one extra day between the regular season and the postseason beginning. So, like, Major League Baseball is going to have to really, the Mets would push essentially to that off day. So the Mets would play the final 2 days of the regular season into a postseason in that scenario. That's if the Braves lose, right? If the Braves win and the Mets doubleheader is rained out today, then do we get to a scenario where the Mets stop playing baseball at 159 or 160? And then we have to ask sports books how they grade that. Good Lord, could you imagine? By the way, no one goes below 159, so I think we're cool in most cases. But you can't hold me to that. You have to know at the sportsbook that you bet it at. Anyway, I'm just saying there's a lot of things swirling around right now. And so we
What a mess.
What a mess.
What a mess.
It is a complete
that
mess.
That sounds just terrible, man.
Complete mess. Is there
and
anything?
And the thing is, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say. Go.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, the matchup tonight, in Miami, if you look at it, Odorizzi versus Braxton Garrett, I like Garrett. I have this as kind of a pick'em, so I don't think it's out of the realm I don't think it's an automatic that the Braves, even though they're priced -155 in the market, are going to win that game. So we could be looking at kind of a messy situation. That's pretty interesting thinking there, Gil.
Now, what about – so in the American League, we have a situation with the 5 and 6 where the Rays and the Mariners are one game separated. Make that 1.5 actually. Anything there to worry about with seeding?
Actually, you want to be if you're the Seattle Mariners, you want to be the higher seed.
You do
because and it's the same thing for the Rays. So it's not this, but the probability for Seattle to beat Cleveland by my numbers is 52%. For Seattle to beat Toronto, it's 56%.
Okay.
So there's not that same thing. But the Philly thing is insane.
Yes.
The probability not only are they like, they're better served to be the 6th seed. They're like better served in a huge way. It like doubles their odds, even more than doubles their odds to go further. So
it's amazing.
I think that if Philly has a decent analytics department, they're seeing this stuff. So, I mean, what's weird is the market hasn't reacted to that. You know, Houston hasn't gone from, -190 to -500, which they should, in my opinion, they should be. If Philly is actually like thinking straight, they will do everything in their power not to win this game.
But that was my point before the break, Mark, is like usually we're thinking straighter than some of these ball clubs are or some of these teams are in these kinds of situations. By the way, one more question on baseball today. The Diamondbacks are only -115 favorites at the Brewers, who just got eliminated, and it's Zach Gallen on the hill. Did you not play the Diamondbacks there?
I like the Diamondbacks here. I've got it priced -181 for Arizona. I think you play it on the 5-inning line.
Okay.
Just kind of isolate it down. My numbers don't like Lowry. He's not a big strikeout guy. Zach Gallen, 11 out of 150 pitchers by my rating. So, yeah, I think that's pretty good value. Okay. I would recommend playing the first 5 on that game.
All right, last question then. And I've asked you this before, but just again for the audience that may not have heard that. If you're making a long shot bet to win the World Series now, for you, the value would be on who?
Cleveland and Seattle, in my opinion.
Cleveland and Seattle. Because that's interesting, because both you and Sporer went Seattle, and now both of you, without talking to each other, have like drifted to Cleveland and Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, they look identical. So I'm looking at starting pitching. This is deep four. This is 4-starter rankings. And it's Mets, number one, 29% better than average, 71 base winner ERA. Then the Dodgers, 77 run suppression number. Cleveland and Seattle, Cleveland 85 run suppression number, Seattle 86. So it goes Mets, Dodgers, Cleveland, Seattle from a starting rotation standpoint. And then depending on what chart you look at, Cleveland's number one bullpen in a lot of my ratings, and then Seattle's number two, or vice versa. So I think that they're kind of interchangeable that way, and I think that they can play up against the Yankees in Houston. So I think that from an underdog standpoint, I think those are two good plays. And then I would go Padres if they get that 6th seed, because I think they can beat the Cardinals. I think that the Philly. Probably not so much. I mean, they're both like both starting rotations are identical. I think that 6th seed, if you want to go for an underdog value, go ahead and get that 6th seed in the National League.
So you're saying 6th seed either way, though, right? Padres or Phillies over the Cardinals is what you're saying?
And more favorably the Padres. So if you want to isolate it down, they're stronger offensively than the Phillies.
Mark, we appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Gil. I got to check out that mentalist segment. It seems to be
please do.
Wild. Yeah.
Please do. Okay. The whole show's been in a blur since then. Thank you, Mark. Mark Borger at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. You ready for some NFL Power Rankings, Kelly?
Let's do it.
NFL.
Fire it up. Plug it in. Power Rankings.
With an outlet and a cord.
Power it up.
All right. So mine haven't changed all that much since last week. The Bills are still number one to me. Number one team in football. Comeback win over the Ravens. And again, I still feel they're the best team in football. I get it. They lost to the Dolphins, but Listen, remember that box score. Remember the Bills didn't have 14 starters at one point. So the Bills are number one to me. Listen, the Chiefs are number two right behind them. What have the Chiefs done to think of them as anything other than one or two? And the Eagles, they're third. They're the only undefeated team in professional football. They are third to me the way that they have played all this season long. And those three are kind of unassailable to me. Then 4, 5, and 6, I've got the Dolphins at four. Again, their only loss is on the short turnaround week at Cincinnati with the Tua injury. The Ravens, I get it, they've lost to, but they were way up on the Dolphins. They were way up on the Bills. And yes, they did squander those leads, but I'm not prepared to put them any lower than five. I still think they're among the elite. And then I've always been bullish on the Niners, despite the fact that I went against them yesterday. Remember, I have Super Bowl and NFC futures on the Niners. They've always been in my top 10. I actually raised them to 6 from 8. After that, quite frankly, Kelly, free for all.
Yeah, totally.
I have the Chargers at 7 just because I loved them in the preseason. I get it. They have their flaws too, but they didn't have Keenan Allen. They don't have Rashawn Slater now, so that's a big deal. But currently, they're still at 7. Sure, they could topple. The Rams are still in the top 10, as are the Bucks. But yes, both didn't look good here. The Rams especially, they're 8th. The Bucks still have a great defense, and who did they get crushed by? Kansas City. So I'm not sure I can really knock them down too far. And then the Bengals are 10, but I could have thrown in, I don't know, the Vikings or the Packers too, I guess.
Yeah, so I like, and I'll start right there. 10 is the one I had to battle over the most, where I had Bengals in that spot last week. They won. So should they have really moved out of my top 10? Probably not. At the end of the day, do I still think the Rams are a slightly better team than them? Yes, I do. So that's kind of where I went. At the top, though, Bills, 1 for me, no reason to change that. Eagles, 2, no reason to change that. Chiefs, 3. I guess me and you have Eagles and Chiefs swapped, right? You had Chiefs, 2, Eagles, 3. So I like the Eagles a little bit better than the Chiefs right now. Bucks, obviously, that's the one we differ the most on.
Yes, we do, yeah.
I look at this as a situation of, look, Tom has still gotten tough. We're on first name
you
basis.
Tom.
Yeah. You know, he still hasn't got a lot of time with this core group of wide receivers that we know are going to all be back and healthy at some point. So I'm not going to judge them too harshly until I see them play with that wide receiving core. So I love their defense. Got them there at 4. Ravens, we both have 5. I think that's right where they deserve to be right now. Chargers, I have at 6. Me and you kind of right there on them as well. Getting healthier. We'll see what happens with them. Vikings, not on yours. I still have them on mine. I put them on 7. Packers, 8. Niners move into my top 10 at 9. Rams have to fall below the Niners. Maybe don't even belong in the top 10 right now, but they do come in at number 10 for me.
Yeah, so the Bucks is the biggest difference, for sure. And that was reflected in my horrible guessing lines guess on the Bucks this weekend. It's 2 against the Falcons. I think you're probably more right than I am. The defense, can you really... I mean... It was the Chiefs, right? So I guess we'll have to learn more about them here moving forward. Coming back, hockey. We'll wrap up our hockey preview with Andy McNeil. On the other side, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The Visa Hockey Season Prep Guide is available now with strategies and best bets for the season ahead. Get in-depth analysis from our hockey experts, including Andy McNeil, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, season-long trends to watch, plus 3 things every new NHL bettor should know. This guide's a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season to get the Visa Hockey Season Prep Guide by becoming a Visa Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Speak of the devil, ladies and gentlemen from Edmonton, Alberta, it's the angriest Canadian we know, Andy McNeil. How you doing?
I'm just disappointed right now. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that you keep reading that read in the plural form, right? I mean, there's only one hockey betting expert here, Gil.
He defies you. Once again, he challenges you to find another person on there. I love, first of all, let me just say, I already love what you're wearing on your head. You're wearing a Washington Capitals hat, and we're talking about both divisions in the Eastern Conference right here, the Atlantic and the Metropolitan. And, of course, last year, the Lightning got all the way to the finals, just talking about the Eastern Conference macro. They tried to have a three-peat. They couldn't get it done. Colorado Avalanche got them. Rangers got to the Eastern Conference finals. Neither one of those two clubs, by the way, was the best teams in their respective divisions. But you're wearing the Caps hat, so maybe we should start there. What do you like about them?
Well, I think the Carolina Hurricanes are the best team in the Metropolitan Division, and it really comes down to there not being a big gap between the best of the rest, the Rangers, the Penguins, and the Capitals. I think the Capitals arguably are the best of those three teams. and should slot into the second place there behind behind Carolina. I bet them at +750 to win the Metropolitan Division. I've heard from some other people that you can find better than 8-1, maybe even better than that out there. So I think that's a good bet. It should be around 5-1 by my estimation. Like I said, I think Carolina's a top team. I have the Capitals finishing with 101 points on average. Excuse me. So I do like their over on their regular season points total as well, which I believe is around 95-ish, if I'm not mistaken, 96.5. Maybe it's moved a bit. And I like them to make the playoffs at -160. It's not the most attractive price out there, and you've obviously got to wait a long time to collect your money if they do indeed make the playoffs. But I really like what this team did over the summer. Bringing in Darcy Kuemper, the goaltending was a big issue for them, but they were an underrated defensive team, and it kind of flew under the radar just how good they were on defense last season. And there is some concern with, you know, the age of players like Ovechkin and Oshie and whatnot, but they've been a top 10 offensive team for about as long as I can remember. And I don't think that's going to change this season with the additions of Dylan Strome and Connor Brown. And of course, Tom Wilson will be back in the lineup around December, we hope. And there's, I guess, a little more optimism that we could see Nicholas Backstrom back this season as well.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of the Caps brand? They're just old every year, it seems like, right? And they're just sort of their thing.
But they're good.
Yeah, but they're good. But they're good, right? Like, at some point, you just have to sort of say, well, I mean,
everybody's been picking them as a team that's going to step back since they've won the cup, and it hasn't happened. So I like this team.
Okay, so just to clarify, you like them over points. You like them to make the playoffs, not necessarily a futures play, though?
You can bet on them to win the Stanley Cup. I've got that in there. A 40-1 bet. I think that's still out there.
I'm in it. Let me do that.
They took the Panthers to the limit last year in the first round. They should have won that series. If they get in again and Kuemper is as advertised, that he's been one of the best goaltenders in the regular season for the last 3 or 4 years. I've also got him to win the Vezina Trophy at 25-1. I'm kind of all in on the Capitals this year. I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic about this team.
I love it. First time Andy McNeil's ever come on here and been this effusive in his praise about the Caps. Let's go. What teams are you not as bullish on? What teams are you perhaps more bearish on than the market suggests?
Well, I think I'm a little bearish on the New York Islanders. Obviously, they got off to a really tough start last season. They had to play the first, I think, 13 games on the road while they were waiting for their new arena to be ready to go. They really didn't get off to a terrible start, but things just kind of spiraled once they got home. Nothing went right for that team, and they were an easy bet to bounce back. But then they, fired Barry Trotz at the end of the season. I don't think a whole lot's going to change there in terms of their structure, but they just don't have a lot of high-end talent in their forward group. They'll probably be a pretty good defensive team. They've got good goaltending, but I think they're going to miss the playoffs, and I think that -115, it's a good bet that they do. And I would also bet them under 92.5 regular season points at -130. I'm not sure if that's moved. And another team that I'm bearish on once again is the New Jersey Devils. They were probably the most overrated team last year. They went out and they got Dougie Hamilton. That was a big attention grabber in the offseason. But once they hit the ice, they were pretty bad. And they've got them around 91.5 points right now, I believe, and I would go under there as well. I think New Jersey is a good bet to make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. Sorry, but that's -170 last time I looked. So another chalky play there. But these are bets, both the Capitals and the Bruins to make the playoffs, and the Devils and the Islanders to miss the playoffs. They're chalky, but they should be priced north of -500 on a couple of those, -300 on some of those. So there's a ton of value here, much more than you'd find on a daily basis in the regular season.
Value is value, as they like to say, or as we like to say. Where do you stand on the Lightning, by the way, speaking of them?
Yeah, I mean, I've got them, challenging, the Maple Leafs and the Panthers as being a top 10 or a top team in the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference.
They're still right in the thick of things. Obviously, losing Andre Palat hurts a lot. They shipped out Ryan McDonough, which was a good move, you know, cap wise, but he still had some talent left it and some left to give that team. So that hurts them a little bit, but it does allow Mikhail Sergachev to move up into his rightful place in the top four on that blue line. But yeah, the Lightning, I mean, they're right there. They didn't get the three-peat done, but would not be surprised if they came back just as strong as ever.
Jeez. Can you imagine then we'll be saying if they were to win the title this year, we'd be like, wow, they were that close to winning four in a row at that point. Any other bets, either by team or by award? Because you mentioned one earlier. Any others?
I do have David Pastrnak to win the Rocket Richard, finish with the most goals this season at 20-1. I don't love it, but he was the player that I thought I'd take a flyer on there. He's won the award before. Only Leon Draisaitl and Matthews have scored more goals than Pastrnak has over the last couple of seasons. There's a new coach in Boston. And by his own admission, he likes to let his horses run. So maybe that'll be good for a player like David Pastrnak, and maybe he can, you know, up those goal totals again.
Andy, we appreciate it, man. The hockey season begins on Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, October 7th, they kick off in Prague, and then the rest of the season gets going on October 11th, and then we don't stop.
Yeah, is it Friday or Saturday, Kelly? Friday, you said? What is it?
I thought it was Friday night.
Okay. There's a back-to-back. It's probably Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, so. And the season in earnest starting next week. Andy, appreciate it. Love you wearing the Caps hat, man. We appreciate it.
That's him.
Andy McNeil, everybody, at Digital Gambler. Wearing that Washington Capitals hat. Predicts big things for the Caps. Kelly, you have a couple things you want to bet on or talk about.
I say it's Friday night, but if it's a Prague situation, maybe we got a whole time change thing going on. I don't know. I got one bet just made for golf already this week for the Shriners here in Las Vegas. Just wanted to point it out, 20-1 on Max Homa. We talk a lot about win equity, especially when it comes to golfers. And in a field like this, it is really not a star-studded field. Patrick Cantlay about plus 650 to win this thing. You're going to see at the top of the betting board right now. 20-1 on a guy who's won five times on tour, Max Homa, one of the hottest golfers on the planet, frankly, right now, coming off a great President's Cup showing, won the Fortinet. I saw a 21 at MGM. I thought that was a great number for an outright. We'll dive a little bit more into golf tomorrow. I haven't broken down the full tournament yet, but 20-1 on a guy who wins as much as Max Homa does right now, I think that's a great number out there to scoop up for this weekend.
Okay, and then there was something else besides the golf,
yeah,
right?
Just, you know, informational betting, right? We talk about this a lot when it comes to NFL, NBA, and as we're getting into the NBA season, we'll be picking that up here soon shortly, too. Look, I never bet NBA preseason. It is not something I'm running to bet at. Saw a few beat writers tweeting about this last night before the Clippers game, of how the Clippers had a very specific plan of how they were going to attack that game last night. They were going to play basically their entire starting lineup in their full normal rotation the first half of the game, and second half of the game, those guys were going to all go to the bench. So it was tough to find a first half line and any books hanging a first half line, Gil, but was able to hop on the Blazers second half, knowing they were going to continue to play some of their starters. Lillard played 23 minutes last night. Simons, 26. Ended up being an easy cash, but a cash in the second half for the Blazers would have been an easy first half cash on the Clippers. Just, you got to follow beat writers and stuff like this. It will make your betting so much easier sometimes.
This is it's a point we try to make on A Numbers Game for all these years. We tried to make it on Primetime Action. Bets are created differently, right? Not all bets are a strict handicap by data. You might do that for one sport. I do that with tennis that way. But some are just informational.
Yep.
Drafts, preseason like that. By the way, Jason Weingarten will be on the show tomorrow. I think he bet on Adelaide. Adelaide.
Whoa.
Against Phoenix. He had no idea they were playing the Suns. That's tomorrow. College football next with Pete Futak.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Let's get that to Nevada, too. Planning a trip to Vegas? You could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points you could use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Pro tip of the hour has to do with what Mark Borchardt said earlier. If you're looking to bet baseball in these final 2 days, be very aware of the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies ought to be, at least by Mark Borchardt's numbers, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, they ought to, well, for lack of a better term, tank these final couple games. Why? To avoid the New York Metropolitans, if it in fact is the Mets, that end up with the number one wild card and therefore the number four seed in the National League. So, in other words, the Phillies have a tiebreaker with the San Diego Padres. They would win the tiebreaker. The Phillies are currently one game behind the Padres. So the Phillies ought not, and again, this is where it gets into what we think versus how the club will play it, but they ought not to want to get to the number five seed so that they have to face the Mets in a best of three wild card. They ought to remain at six and get the Cardinals in a best of three. That is your VSiN pro tip of the hour. We have 20 of those a day. We could sort them by you could sort them by sport and by show at VSiN.com. 20 a day, at least 20 a day. I've done the math for everybody. One every hour right here at VSiN.com. We get tweets. I have to read some more, Kelly, before we get to Peter, Pete Futak, because these are just all day. You know what they're run over by, but a few more of these. Chris Heath, it's early for Charlie from It's Always Sunny. That's what everybody says, Charlie from Always Sunny. Los Vegas 514, yo, can that guy tell us, we're talking about Oz Perlman, who was on the show earlier, Oz the Mentalist, can that guy tell us when the Commanders are going to be good again? Johnny Ringo, pretty sure O's implanted a DK bonus code in that segment. Rich Copro, Gil, I can tell what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, if this fool can read my mind, I'm going to shoot myself. Yeah, that's up there. This is from the angriest guy in New Jersey again. He says, Gil, I know you're freaked out, and I don't blame you. That did not happen to me, and I'm freaked out. El Yessi, asking what I was asking. Chance these Mets games don't get played today, then what? And I think it will come down to, do the Braves win or not? Because if the Braves win, Major League Baseball is going to be like, well,
it didn't matter.
Doesn't
right?
matter. And we'll just play a game tomorrow, if available, maybe two, and that'll be the end of that. They might not play the full 162. If the Braves lose, the Mets have to play all these games still, because they will still have a shot at winning the division. So we'll have to keep an eye on what that is. Brian Moore said Philly needs, talk about the Phillies, Philly needs some NBA load management these next two games to not win, for sure. David Miller, he's a skeptic, Kelly. He says, don't let me start calling you for Gazy Gil. Eight of clubs, okay, lucky guess, but not Marley. Somebody's sleeping in my bed, he said.
I don't know what to tell you
all
guys.
All I can tell you is I've never met the dude before, and from my perspective, and this is just I'm being honest with you, I am less freaked out that he got the player correct than I am that my brain produced that player. That's what I'm freaked out by.
He's doing it remotely. Like, I think that's the other thing. If he was here in studio, I don't know, you know, how he might be able to trick you or whatever.
Did he finesse me into saying, because I've never thought of that dude in, I can't tell you how long. Why did he pop up in my brain? Anyway, New York Mets 16. Oh, this is good about what Borchardt was talking about. It goes, aren't Ohtani's wins, 15 of them, more valuable due to the team he plays for? Houston, obviously a much better all-around team than the Angels, makes sense for why he's running for Cy Young. So Scott agrees with what Borchardt was talking about. Anyway, on and on and on. We appreciate all of this. Just a fabulous segment earlier with O's. We'll have him back on. Pete Futak, always fabulous segments with him as well. And he comes to us from College Football News, and he was kind enough, along with his co-hosts Gabe and Alyssa, to have me on a show, on a radio show on Saturday to talk college and pro football. I had a great time. Thanks for having me, Pete.
You saved the show. We need you back anytime to come back on and impart your wit and wisdom to what we were trying to do with that whole thing.
No, it was great. We were talking, we were right in the middle of the college football day. By the way, Gabe is awesome, as is Alyssa, and I just wanted to I just wanted to sort of get back to a couple things we talked about there, and then we'll get to your thoughts this week in college football.
By the way, Gabe and Alyssa, by the way, that whole show is them in-game, like, betting. The entire show
is me talking,
and then those two on their phones hitting refresh about 100,000 times to see if Marshall's going to come back and kick a field goal.
All right, so here's a couple things from that. One, boy, has this gotten ugly quick with Oklahoma, and they've got some games in front of them where this could get worse for Brent Venables. That's one thing. And then two, you talked about who's going to be the first coach fired, and it ended up being Paul Christ. You justified to you?
Yeah, you know, here's the crazy part about it. Technically, if for the betting purposes, Carl Durrell was 2-1. I was told that that was going to linger a little bit because they didn't have the money. They didn't want to do the buyout for Durrell, but he was the odds-on favorite. Christ was, I don't want to say out of the blue, but you gained 2 rushing yards against Brett Bielema in Illinois. That's a problem. Now, I am a current former Wisconsin guy. So knowing this program like I do, you just got rid of a guy who won 72% of his games and was 9 wins a year every year. Good dude. But there's a bunch of parts of play. First, they're not getting any better. They've not improved this year. And secondly, Jim Leonard, the defensive coordinator, former star NFL player, former star Badger defensive back, he was a hot coaching product. He was probably going to go to Nebraska, or at least he was going to get a call from them. And I think they wanted to make sure they didn't lose him. And everything just kind of came together at once there for the Badgers.
Okay. We got to do rapid fire answers to all of these because I got a bunch of things to ask you. One, Ohio State, Alabama, and, of course, Georgia. Georgia now a couple weeks in a row, right, where they have not looked Georgia-esque. Alabama had the scare against Texas. Ohio State earlier in the year against Notre Dame. Who's the best team in the country right now?
Ohio State right now, and to rapid fire this quick to go college football playoff, it's going to be interesting because Alabama certainly looks beatable if Bryce Young is out for any real long stretch of time, and Georgia certainly looks like they could get tagged. Both have brutal schedules coming up. They're still probably going to play in the SEC championship game, but they're both going to probably have a loss. So this whole idea that they're both getting into the college football playoff, not the given that I think everyone's making out to be.
I mean, Kent State and Mizzou, Pete. Kent State and Mizzou.
They any landing you can walk away from is a good one. Let's see if they pick it back up this week.
All right. Speaking of Venables, Texas at Oklahoma. Texas favored by a touchdown against Oklahoma, who's trying to avoid 3-3 now.
Yeah, the problem is it's still Texas, and you know if, you know, the wind blows the wrong way or someone gives an upside-down hand sign, they go in the tank. So to go back to your Venables comment, yes, Oklahoma's not playing great right now. Dylan Gabriel's hurt. We're not quite sure what his status is going to be 100%. I still kind of like the Sooners. They just have a mind meld over this game. Usually the team in this game that's not supposed to win kind of has it over the other side.
Battle of the Undefeateds. The Horned Frogs of TCU, 4-0 against the Jayhawks of Kansas. What a ball game this has turned out to be. TCU favored by a touchdown. What do you like?
I cannot get past the fact that Kansas is good at college football. And what sucked is last week was a complete – that goes everything against we got. Fine, Kansas is good, but they win games 55-52. And then you have last week – the over on the Iowa State game was a given last week, didn't work. I can't believe I'm still going against Kansas, but TCU's playing so well. I'm going to go TCU and give away the points, but I'm not happy about it.
but I'm not happy about it. All right, Kelly Bidlin guessed this line earlier on the college football guessing lines. Tennessee at LSU in the SEC with the Vols, the favorites against the Tigers, just by a field goal, though, not by Kelly's touchdown, just by a field goal.
Yeah, another one of the only reason I like Tennessee in this, they've had 2 weeks off to prepare. They don't have much of a defense. LSU's playing really, really well. I mean, we lost them in the Florida State game. That's not the real LSU. They're starting to sort of get it all together. But again, Tennessee a little more rested, come with the offense. I think it's going to be a fun back-and-forth shootout. Tennessee, but they'll pull it out, but I'm sheepish on that one, too.
All right, Texas A&M, Alabama, huge number. Not for the same reasons we thought it would be a huge number before the season started. It just is huge because Texas A&M's not all that good. Can Texas A&M cover this?
Yeah, because they're going to slow this game down to a grind. We're not exactly sure what Bama's going to be, isn't how good Bryce Young's going to be. Bama wins easily, but covering that 24 or whatever you're going to be able to get it at, I kind of like the Aggies in this.
Pac-12, Utah, UCLA, where are you going?
Utah, they're just that good. That Florida game was that one bad pass is going to screw them up. They'll get by UCLA, but they've got a gauntlet coming up. They still got to go to Oregon, still got to deal with Washington, and they got USC coming to their house.
All right. And then your favorite, off the beyond everything I've just mentioned, your single favorite
Until
bet.
Until they prove me otherwise, James Madison is just crushing everybody. Arkansas State's got an offense, but no defense, even though they're playing a little bit of defense. James Madison minus 10 over Ark State.
You done good. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
Later, guys.
At Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter, collegefootballnews.com. Well, Kelly, this has been something.
What a show.
This has been, how could I put this, something. I'm going to have to really ponder life after this. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.